It was thought that women bore fruit like trees when they were ripe. Paternity, in other words, had not been discovered yet. A day I always imagine as a big light bulb over somebody's head, right? And they're saying, oh, that's why. Actually, there's some evidence now that women discovered paternity several hundred years before they told men about it. Because they wanted to preserve their independence. Anyway, with the discovery of paternity, which was as cataclysmic an event as the discovery of how to shatter the atom or how to make fire, it began to change society very drastically. The idea of the ownership of children, of private property, of passing that property down to children, the origin of the beginnings of a different kind of child rearing instead of the communal one that had probably existed before. The origin of marriage, which was really locking women up long enough to make sure who the father was. And, in fact, very gradually, the evolution of women, or the devolvement of women, into the first second-class group. Women were the first political subjugation. Whether or not we had children, it was easy to distinguish us by our physical characteristics, and we were marked for a second-class role, locked up in order to make sure who the father was, and therefore, and also occasionally restricted by pregnancy, which soon became something less than the superior function it had previously been. We were given the work to do that no one else wanted to do. The unrewarding or repetitive or boring tasks that men did not want to do, that were not attractive to the society. And these became known as feminine tasks. That's still the operative definition of feminine work, right? Anything a man doesn't want to do. I mean, in some societies, it's digging ditches, and in others, it's typing. But it's still anything a man doesn't want to do. In some marriages, it's driving to the station and paying all the bills. And in other marriages, it's staying very far away from the car and the checkbook. But it's still what a man doesn't want to do. And the operative, the technical definition of women's work is shit work. So with us there, with the women there, physically marked as different, set aside, doing the second-class tasks and so forth, when other groups were captured and brought into this situation, it was natural that they be given the role of women. They also were given the work to do that no one else wanted. They also were marked by physical difference, racial difference often, for those roles. So there always has been the closest kind of parallel between women and any other group in the society racially marked for a second-class role, any other minority group. We see it much more recently when black people were brought to the shores of this country as slaves. No one knew what legal status to give them, so they automatically gave them the status of wives, which was chattel. And our legal reforms have therefore followed on each other's heels. And the last great period of coalition of the out-groups in this country was the abolitionist movement. We are probably just now entering into another. Gunnar Myrdal made this parallel very clearly when he, in An American Dilemma 35 years ago, if only we'd all read it then, when he said that the parallel between women of all colors, and black men, or non-white men, as the two largest second-class groups in this country, was the deepest truth of American life. We were the groups marked for cheap labor. We were the groups on which this system, the so-called capitalist system, runs. Whether it's in our kitchens, or someone else's kitchens, or factories, or fields, or offices, we are the cheap labor on which it runs. And the simple truth is that the society could not afford to pay equally women for the work they're already doing, much less to value, to put a monetary value on the work that housewives do, and continue to survive in its present economic form or balance. So the demand for equal pay on the part of women is a very is a wonderfully subversive demand. with all the logic of sweet reason, and very much part of the whole revolution that's taking place of all these, all of us marked for second class roles standing up and saying, no more, we are not going to be cheap labor anymore. Now, Myrdal did not say, and no one would say, that the suffering was the same, because it's clear that women lose their identities, and black people, often women as well as men, lose their lives. Women, white women, die inside. Minority groups in this country risk dying, period. But the myths are the same, and our situations are so parallel that it really helps to look at them and to draw those parallels. Myrdal said, for instance, pointed out that both all women, black, brown, yellow, white, all women, and non-white men, are all said to have smaller brains, passive natures, childlike natures. We're supposed to be incapable of governing ourselves. God forbid we should try to govern a white male, right? Which is where it's really at. I mean, it's okay maybe for women to be head of the secretarial pool and black people to take care of things in the ghetto, maybe. But it's not okay to have any authority over, you know, politics, economics, you know, the human concerns, which are the male concerns. We are supposed to be, let's see, we don't like to work with each other. We don't really like each other. We also really like things the way they are. You know, my maid says that she really doesn't like all these militants who are making all this trouble. My secretary says that she doesn't really approve, or my wife or something, doesn't really approve of all these, women troublemakers and so on. We are not supposed to get on with each other or work well together. We're supposed to be closer to the earth, right? And we have more sexual natures than white men somehow. I guess we have natural rhythm. According to television, we even have peculiar odors. I mean, there's a whole industry based on making women feel insecure about smelling worse than men and having to remedy that at great expense to themselves and great benefit to Madison Avenue and the industries of this nation. I don't really understand how anybody who's ever passed a locker room can believe that one. But there are all these parallel myths, and they are so clear that it's very important now that we have just begun to realize how deeply racist this society is, to, whenever we hear ourselves making a generalized statement about women, to substitute the name of any other minority group and see what it is that we really are saying. It also becomes very clear to white women as we look at our situations as they really are, and look at the parallels with minority groups, that there is a reason why, and I say especially to the white women in this room, there is a reason why we are all the time somehow feeling more related to working in movements with, in support of, or voting like minority groups. You know, we don't vote like our husbands. We vote more like minority groups, which is an unsayable thing. We're not supposed to even look at those voting statistics to figure that out. That many of us got involved in other movements in the days when the white liberal was still alive and okay. Women were the workforce in many cases of the civil rights movement, certainly of the ecology movement, of the peace movement. And only through getting involved in these movements did we begin to realize that we are a second-class group too? Did we begin to see ourselves and the parallels, and therefore to begin to see that our lives are political, that to define politics as out there in Washington or in the state capitol is wrong. Politics is any power relationship in our lives. Politics for women is who's doing the dishes, who's doing the typing. If both husband and wife work, why is it that the woman is still more responsible for the kids and for getting the meals? That's politics. Politics is any power relationship in our lives. If a man gets a job in another town, the wife is supposed to leave her job, but not vice versa. That's politics. We are trained to behave, to feel like a half a person, so that we will be content to get paid like a half a person, because we still, women across the board, only make between 50